quickly the second issue. So far, the first two shiurim on this topic were about the question of being mekadesh with ribis. The first one was being mekadesh b'dmei ribis. And yesterday we discussed the question of being mekadesh with the milva of ribis, and whether or not that milva of ribis is something which is the equivalent to regular milva, or it's worse than regular milva, and what its implications are, both in terms of the chi of piraon, the schusei gvia, and the possibility that there's a kind of afuchin mitar talamali. So the first half of that topic also relates back to the question of ribis and its status. And then the second point at the end is something that we'll get back to when we talk more about Mekadesh B'Milva itself, and that is if it's true that the Gemara, and it's an if, it's not so clear, but certainly that's the way a lot of the Farshim understood it, and that's what half of the Avnei Miluim that we discussed yesterday is talking about. In addition to which, as I just mentioned, Aram, I seem to have displaced my Avnei Miluim, if anybody saw it, because I couldn't get into my office yesterday. So if anybody sees a loose, kind of a little beat up, Avnei Miluim around, keep an eye out for it. But certainly the second part, which is the idea that if Mekadesh Milv is Mekudeshes, then the obligation to pay Dmei Ribis would constitute a milva that is no less effective than any other milva. That is certainly something that we have to get back to, because certainly if we think that the point is that milva lav lo tzah nitna implies that somehow the matan mos to begin with, or the fact that there's a correspondence, let's say, creates a kind of category, a commodity, which, even though it's more amorphous than something which is tangible, is still something which is a legal fair in terms of being koneb, in terms of being mekadesh, and so on. The idea that would apply also to Tmei Ribis, which doesn't correspond to anything, is a very big chiddush, and it may really propel us to be thinking very ambitiously and expansively of what kiddushin or mechar b'milva might actually be, what kiddushin lav lahotzah nitna may mean, that it could apply even to something like ribis. But as I said before, it has to be located in a broader discussion, which includes also the question of whether there's a difference between milva kodem and la'achar zmana piron, and there are different cases of that, and things like different types of milva, like milva sheish bo shtar, milva sheish bo mashkon, issues like that, and a bunch of others, milva of a mecher as opposed to milva of stama milva. Right? Sometimes I go to the store and I take something, and that triggers an obligation, right, to pay for it. Let's keep us milva. Is that a milva any different than a milva which comes out of tzedakah, right? In other words, I give you money so that you should eventually, on condition that you eventually pay me back. On the surface, both of those things are called milva, and the question is there any difference between them? And we'll see in the sugya of a mekadesh b'milva whether it makes a difference. That's a little bit has to do with the Tosus Riazakein on Mem Zayin. I don't know if you got that far yet or not, but sounds like some of you have. That's good. There's a Tshuva the Rimigash on that. There's a lot to say about these issues. So the question of the milva part of the ribis ketsutza is really part of that bigger question. It's one of, and it's an extreme form of different types of milvas about which we have to think critically, whether it makes a difference in terms of the effectiveness of milva in different areas of halacha. Okay, today I want to do something, again, narrower, just to finish off, so we can get in position to start assaulting the bigger topic, and that is discuss the question whether kiddushin itself is ribis. And, of course, we've talked about this very, very agav. We've mentioned this Rajba before, but I just want to talk about the other shitos as well. So the background for this, Yonatan, do you want to...
Sure.
So we have the Gemara, of course.
Yeah.
Just read that for a second. I just want to go through these sheetas quickly and just raise certain Kiddushin and Ribbis interface questions about it. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, so again, this is a very challenging Gemara to read, which is why the Gemara had trouble with it, and then the Rishonim had trouble even reading the Gemara that tried to fix it, right? So go ahead. Yeah, and that's what we've already discussed, whether it's using the actual money once it came to him or using the milva of the ribbis kitsutza that we've talked about. The ode. Oh, that's part of the story, ode hainu milva. But that's where the second half of yesterday's discussion came in. When we say the ode hainu milva, is that the Gemara's, is that only a linguistic comment? Like, why do you call that? Or is that the Gemara's way of saying, well, then that integrates fully, you know, into the question of Mekadosh B'milva. Not just Mekadosh B'milva Eina Mekudeshes, but even Mekadosh B'milva according to the Manda Amar Mekudeshes. That's where yesterday's part two discussion came in. Go ahead. The answer is Lotzrifa. Yeah. So that's also pretty vague. What does that mean, Lotzrifa D'Arbach L'Zimna? So now we're going to discuss some interpretations of that. Yeah, go ahead. So what does Rashi say?
Rashi thinks Arba Vazimna is Lotzrifa D'Arbach L'Zimna, Halva So.
He extends the Halva.
Yeah, of Amar La, Eskashi Behana Zo, Sha'at Hayit, No Tanas Pruta La Adam Shefa Yzeini Alkach, Oli. And that's the, so that's
the, the extension of the loan certainly is worth a pruta to you, right? Either to me directly or indirectly by using somebody to influence me, right? Go ahead. Yeah, this is, so they, some people take out this line in Rashi. It seems like a lot of people took out this line and thought it wasn't part of the real Girsa. Okay. Okay, so this, of course, is the key line. I mean, two things. So the way Rashi interprets Harvokas Hazman is that we're talking about him extending her loan to him.
Yeah.
Right. So that makes it very much, because Rashi interprets that way, and you can't really take Rashi to task. To the contrary, the simple reading of the Gemara is that's what we're talking about, right? So we're talking about his extending her loan to him. But the issue with that is, which makes it more, exciting, I guess, but also, you know, we have to be more careful, is that it's very close to a typical ribbis structure, right? Because it's the same malva, same lova, and there seems to be a kind of agar natar, which means skar hamtanas hamos, right? So Rashi now is going to be pressured to explain, you know, if that's really true. So why isn't this ribbis kitsutza, right? So what does he say? De lo katz la midi velo midi shakel mine. Okay, we'll get back. That's really what he wanted to discuss in one more second. Let's finish off the Rashi. But
kol shekain, imachala kol hamilva, v'amala iskachi li behanas mechila zeho, v'hashtu dekayayev lach bruta da'anas melva, aval ki mekadosh lo be'ikar hamos, lav midi yayev lach, shekvar hem birshusa v'hem shalach.
Yeah. So the end of Rashi, he's just trying to explain something else, and that is that there would have been a much easier way for the Gemara to proceed here, and that is to say that the hana is mechilas hamilva, as opposed to the money itself. In other words, you wonder why, you know, the Gemara wouldn't have done that, and you wonder whether everybody thinks that such a thing can be done. We're going to get back to that, but this has something to do with our discussions about hana, you know, and when hana is too close, you know, to what generates the hana. Rashi here is assuming that you can have a very subtle division, right, between the distinction between, you know, being mekadesh with the money, right, and being mekadesh with not having to pay back the money, or the hana of not having to pay back the money. Rashi thinks those two things exist, and that one will be a fine method of kiddushin, and the other will not. But we'll try to get back to that point. But before we do, so Rashi basically weighed in to say this is a case that is between the malva and the lova, and the only reason that it's not ribis katsutsa, since it looks like it might be, is because lo yohiv la, right? What does he say? De lo kotzla midi velo midi shakomina. So what do you make of that? What does that mean? What does lo kotzla midi mean?
It wasn't pre-established at the...
There's no katsitsa of the halva at the outset.
Yeah.
And lo midi shakomina. So are there two conditions according to... Again, we're not learning Hilchos Ribis now. You know, for a day or two, it just may seem like we are. But, you know, we're practically done with that. It's a very... We couldn't if we wanted. It's just very complicated. But at least it's good to, you know, when you do these drive-bys, you know, it's good to raise some issues. And then when you get a chance to see more, and especially then there, you know, there are issues... Already clued in as to what some issues may be. So when Rashi says lo kotzla midi velo midi shakomina, are these two conditions for ribis katsutsa that you need a katsitsa merosh, and it has to express itself in giving something tangible, something, you know, distinctive, or are these two ways that Rashi is trying to say the same thing? You know, there's something lacking in this exchange. Right, and it's expressed in these two ways, maybe neither of which independently is the problem, but you know, both of which reflect it. Again, I don't want to get too involved, but let me just say one thing very quickly about it. The emphasis on katsitsa in Milva, as opposed to the emphasis on, right, identifying very distinctively what it is that you have to return, are both, you know, typical to a classic, you know, agar natar case of ribis, right? Which is why Rashi, you know, could write this way. But it's just interesting to note that they each one kind of highlights a different aspect, or maybe even a different perspective on how to look at ribis. There's one way to look at ribis. Is that there's a certain, you know, inequality, you know, in it all. You know, maybe it's even equivalent or works better with the Gezel theory, although you don't have to go so far. Meaning I give you a loan of $100 in exchange for, you know, you returning to me $120. Right? That's unequal. Right? That inequity itself is part of the problem. That's one way to look or to structure or to portray ribis. Another way to portray ribis, and again, it's the same, in most cases, it's the same case, just a different way of formulating it and looking at it, is that I lend you $100, right, but I charge you $20, you know, for that loan. So the repayment of the loan is $100, right, and the $20 is a distinctive, separate payment, right? So from that point of view, it's not the milva that's compromised or the inequity in the milva. It's the exploitation of his need, right, to get something that is totally, you know, unrelated. There's a pro and a con in each of these, you know, structures, obviously. In the first case, it's, you know, the inequity in the loan itself, which is very blatant. In the second case, you know, what I'm lending, I'm getting returned. There's nothing, it's the extra fee, right? So in the first case, it's muvla. You say you're lending money and you're getting a repayment, that's all. Either repayment is bigger, okay. You know, that's because time is money and money is time and whatever it is. All those, you know, good capitalistic, you know, entrepreneurial truisms. But in a way, when Rashi or others in Dine Ribis emphasize the katsitsa, in addition to the timing factor of it, you know, which may be really what it's about, but at least another way to look at the significance of katsitsa merosh is that it basically enlarges the loan. It says, I'm giving you $100, and you're returning to me $120. Not net, you know, but that's what the unequal Piron is. But if I talk about Layoiv Lomidi, right, so more to the point, I'm emphasizing something that needs to be not Muvla in the bigger picture, but needs to be distinctive. In other words, this is the illegal, you know, I was able to kind of extort, you know, from you, you know, this extra sum for, you know, an equal exchange that we made. So it's just interesting. Again, what does Rashi mean by, in the case of Kiddushin, right, Rashi's just merely saying that, you know, there's nothing, there's no Ketzitza Meirosh, right, and there's no, you know, Nesinas Davar, you know, that's specific here. But either way, whatever Rash, whatever the implications of this are for Ribbis, and I think there are, it's something to think about, whether it's two, whether it's one, so on. The bigger picture is that Rashi, in theory, thinks that Kiddushin, right, is not, does not qualify as something which is Ribbis, okay, for this combination of reasons. And that's where the Balei Tosfos disagree, correct, Jonathan? Go ahead.
From like quote Rashi.
Yeah.
And then Mashpir is Ribbis to the Lohavi from Hill. Kivin Shein Aishon Ozenas Lesh Klum Lo Nira Kivin Shehu Nosein Lach Zev Pruta BeKidushin VeLo Nosan Lach Klum Havi Kiilu Nosein Lo Pruta Mamish Havi Ribbis Gomer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't like Rashi's shop because it looks like Ribbis Gomer because she's. He's saving the money that he would have had to give as a pruta for Kiddushin.
So the savings of the pruta of the Kesef Kiddushin is, right, a midi, the Yahivla. The Yahivle, sorry.
Yeah. She's giving him.
Okay, so that's an interesting argument.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I, the Kayi, go ahead. Right. It's all, you know, covered up there. But here it's not. There's a quid pro quo, right? I'm getting a harvachas hazman, and I'm giving what would have come to me as prutas kedusha. So that is a proper. What do you mean? Why is that not yoiv lamidi? That is yoiv lamidi. Okay. V'chein pirush Rabbeinu Tam. That's he intervened in some other loan relationship that she had with somebody else, and he, right, ensured the extension of her loan, and that is the hana. That's a much more straightforward case. And even then, Tosfos has some troubles with it. Vim Tomar,
Amai Asur Lasas Gem Bnei Haramas Ribbis, Va'amar Perakei Zunesha Shari Leila Inish.
Right, meaning that shouldn't even be Haramas Ribbis because Ribbis is a Malva Lova relationship and here he's a third party. Go ahead. The meaning that's only true, it's true that, you know, that Ribbis relationships are between Malva and Lova, right? But you can still get Drabanan Ribbises when, you know, it's more complicated and it looks like, you know, there is a Malva-Lova relationship through Shlichus. So if each party, you know, if the party that gives also gets, right? So even if there's no formal Shlichus, and Shlichus might not work anyway here, but, you know, nonetheless, it's structured in such a way that, you know, if it's near a kishlichus, so that kind of makes it, you know, between Malva Velova with proxies. Okay. So that's why this is Asur, at least Drabana, or Haramas Ribbis. Okay? The Kinami Amrina Nasam. Right, now you have the other case. Now, the first case he was quoting was a case where, right, somebody didn't get anything for their effort. And the second case is a case where on the contrary, the, you know, she initiated. But the point is that he didn't, you know, right? Hainu kishena makabel no same klum. She didn't do anything for him.
Right.
Or put it this way, the initiated, the lova didn't do anything for the malva. So as long as they're not equal, as long as there's not reciprocity, right, there's no nira kashliach, and if there's no nira kashliach, then it's sufficiently distant from the malvalova relationship, and then there's not even haramas, and it's muta lagamri. Correct? But the case here is one in which there is that relationship, and therefore there's a din of haramas ribis, but ribis alone, certainly there is none. Okay, go ahead.
Vim Tomar, my Mugila Barbach La Zimna Bitchila Salva, Hayakalahamid, the Ayakalahamid, and I know it's Milton Kudasha, Grunge Makadish, no Saint Lamalva, Pruta, La Halbus Lam Os, Uba Oza Putin and Scotchalo. Right, so the Tosus wants to have the Gemara make it a different case completely, and he wants it so that the Halbrachas Man was from. He wants the. The Makadish is no Saint Pruta. To make the
to create the milva,
yes,
right?
Milva initially.
Yeah.
It's like a technical point.
Yeah.
In
the there's an Achanami that would work. Okay, good, fine. So what emerges though for our purposes is that while Rashi does not think that the, let's say, the benefit, let's say, of entering into kedushin. As a result of this transaction, constitutes ribitz katsutza, right? The Balei Tosfos disagree. In the exact case of Rashi, they think that that would be ribitz katsutza. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The question is this a machlokas in hilchos ribitz, or is it a machlokas in hilchos kedusha? Very hard to know, or some combination of both, but at least this is what we should be asking. It's also interesting, just get the shitas out for the moment, it's also interesting to wonder why Tosus formulates this ribs katsutza the way that he does. Namely, as the pruta that you save that you would have had to shell out for the kedushin. Right? Alternatively, what could he have said?
Meaning what should have
what
been
other way could this be ribs katsutza? Yeah?
Not
over a what?
The
Kiddushin itself, what about the fact that he walks away, instead of looking at it more indirectly, because what really happens here is he's Mekadesh, right, he's Mekadesh with this. And Tosus kind of created a step in between, right, to because they were concerned, you know, that the step in between constitutes ribis katsutza. The step in between is, well, had you been Mekadesh, you know, absent, you know, this process, you would have had to dig into your pocket and take out a pruta and hand it over. So the savings of a pruta constitutes, you know, the ribis katsutza. Why not just say that, you know, the thing that demands you to dig into your pocket and take out a pruta, namely kiddushin itself, you know, being married is itself a ribis katsutza. So, who does discuss that question? Alex? The Rajva and the Ritva. Right, the Rajva and the Ritva both were troubled why the kiddushin itself does not constitute ribis. Now, if you ask me, just, you know, which of these is a better you know, source for this question, I think it's a toss-up, right? On the one hand, the Rajba and the Ritva are not going to have to take this indirect route, right? The Kiddushin itself is obviously the first thing you walk away from, and that's your Hamtanas Mos, you know, got you a wife, right? So that's Ribis Katsutza. That's one side of it, and that's a more direct side, just one more second. At the same time, I think it raises the important question, and that is, you know, since is Kiddushin something that is convertible, right, into, you know, a gift or money such that it can constitute ribis katsutza, right? Maybe that's kind of what Rashi really had in mind. I would have said, lomidi yayivla. So on the one hand, it's a more direct ribis, On the other hand, it's a much more amorphous kind of ribbis. A pruta is a pruta. The pruta part is more indirect, but the pruta part, just one more second, in addition to being more indirect, is subject to another issue in question. Namely, it's not the only method of kiddushin, right? You could also be mekadesh b'shtar, right? So if, who says that you saved a pruta in this particular case when you walked away with kiddushin? Maybe you didn't save a pruta at all, right? Maybe you would have been mekadesh b'shtar. And even if we knew you weren't going to be mekadesh b'shtar, but the point is, does that matter? I'm not so sure. That second question is a question of Pnei Yoshua, which I think I told you to look at. Yeah.
What would be the mechanics of being mekadesh with kiddushin? Because doesn't he have to initiate?
Of being mekadesh?
With the ribbis being the kiddushin. Because it would sound like she's giving herself to him for an extension of a loan, but she's unable to do that because kiddushin he has to initiate.
Well, he is. He's extending. He's saying, Hareat mekudeshes li.
The ribbis is not. She can't give herself to him directly. He has to give her something to come back to him, so it would be indirect, wouldn't it?
What do you mean give her? He's giving her the extension of a loan.
Right, but then
he's extending her loan, which Trent
and
he's extending her loan. That's something that she that is worth money to her. And what he is benefiting from is he becomes a married man. He becomes
isn't that indirect? He's benefiting, he's extending the loan, so it's Kilo, he gave her, he gave her a pruta that she was going to give him, and he's using that pruta to marry her.
You're asking according to Tosas or according to the Rajma and the Ritva?
According to the Rajma and the Ritva. Isn't the Kiddushin itself removed from the Ribbis?
I'm not sure why. I mean, either way, the question of the Ribbis is whether or not it's an illegal mechanism. But in the end of the day, he's still giving her something that is worth for her pruta. The issue is not so much whether it's worth it for her, whether she's receiving kesef kiddushin. The question is whether or not, for him, that's an illegal acceptance of ribbis. That she is miskadeshes with the hanah of harvachas hazman is pasha. Why is that worse than Dabra Alayich L'Shilton or Rekod L'Fanai?
Isn't this what we were discussing? This is not a new discussion. This is a discussion we had yesterday about using Ma'os Ribbis for Kiddushin. Not the Kiddushin itself.
No. I mean, we're not talking about using Ma'os Ribbis now at all. We're talking about using Harvachas Hazman.
But the Harvachas Hazman...
Yesterday we were talking about the difference between receiving Dmei Ribbis and then being Mekadesh with it, as opposed to the second case, which some people think is the real case and some people think is not, which is the fact that I owe you the fifth Zuz and I want to be Mekadesh with the fifth Zuz. We're not talking about that at all.
In this case, he extends her loan.
Right. So and that is her cast. That is her, and with that he wants to be Mekadesh, right?
Right. So he's using,
and she
would have paid him to extend the loan. So
okay.
Now he's given her a pruta,
right.
Or saved her a pruta,
saved her a pruta, he's given her a pruta.
Oh, so he's given her
he's
a pruta.
Saved himself a pruta, and the question is whether the saving, according to Tosis, whether the saving of the pruta for himself constitutes a real ribbis ketsutza, or it's only ribbis harama.
Right, and then he's using that pruta to do a kiddushin.
No.
How is she giving herself to him directly for the ribbis?
I'm not following your point. She is miskadeshes with the hana of harvachas zman. That's what the Gemara calls hana smilva. The Gemara says you can't be mekadesh b'milva, but you can be mekadesh b'hana smilva. And hana smilva means, we'll still discuss what that is, but hana smilva means harvachas zman. We're not talking about that now. That's fine and good. Let's leave that for now. If we could talk more about that later. But one second. So the kesef kiddushin, right, that she is accepting is, if you want to know, which I think is what you're asking, it says kiyikach ishisha, and we spent a lot of time on that. So where is the kiyikach here? The answer is he comes to her, he proposes to her, and he says to her, and I'm going to be marviach the zman of the halvah. And instead of saying, adabra alayich shilton, or, some other, you know, pleasant thing that I'm going to do that's worth a perta, certainly being marviach the zman amilva for her constitutes kesef kedusha. That's the kiyikach and that's the kesef kedusha. Now there's a different question, and that is not what is kesef kedusha and whether it works. No one's disputing that. No one's talking about that. Tosis isn't talking about. Rashi's not talking about that. Tosis isn't talking about that. The Rajba isn't talking about that. The Ritva isn't talking about that. Pnei Yeshua isn't talking about that. Miri isn't talking about that. None of these Rishonim are talking about that at all. They're talking just about one thing, and that is not what he has properly kiyikach ish isha given to her, but has he received something in this entire transaction which goes beyond the way the Gemara describes it, which is as haramas ribis. Has he or has he not? And the answer is, according to Rashi, no, because lo kotz v'lo midi yoivla, whatever that means. According to Tosus, if that had been really the case, then the answer is that would be considered ribis. The Ritva, the Rajbar, saying it should be ribis, not... Well, okay. According to Tosus, it would be ribis if that were the case, but it would be ribis because by getting this exchange from her, right in the end of the day, he saves himself also a pruta. So therefore, in a certain sense, he has... But that doesn't affect the kedushin, but it does.
The rational and the ritual, the mechanics are the same issue that Tosos noted should be the same for rational and the ritual.
It is in terms of the ribbis part.
So why is the kedushin in the ribbis? It's the fruit of that service.
It's not. You're asking why did the Rajba and the Ritva not like Tosos? They're asking. They're saying a more direct. That's what I was trying to explain it a second ago, which was that there are two ways you could explain. That net, he walks out of this in the context of getting agar natarle. Let's take the general definition of ribis, which is agar natarle, meaning paying for the right of keeping somebody else's money, which you're not supposed to do. Right? Is there agar natarle in this case where he's marviach her zman, but he walks out again? What she gets, we know what she gets. She gets the hana of having more time. Does he get tarbis, let's say, because the other way that he would have been mekadesh her, right, would have required his putting his hand in his pocket and taking out a pruta, or just by virtue of the fact, forget about that, right? Let's say you want to say like the Pnei Yeshua, or I'm using the Pnei Yeshua to highlight a second difference between the Rajba and the Ritva, and Tosas. Meaning, Pnei Yeshua's Ha'ara, which is a good Ha'ara, is, what do you mean he saved a pruta? He didn't save a pruta. He could have been Mekadesh with a shtar. Right? So he didn't actually save a pruta by getting married, but something much bigger happened here. He ended up with a Kiddushin as a result of Agar Natar. He extended her loan. He gave her, that was her Kes of Kiddushin. Right, but he's not allowed to, you know, that's what ribis is. You're not allowed to charge for that. So why not view that he did charge by virtue of the fact that either he saved money or better yet, that he ended up with a huge, you know, benefit. He ended up with, namely, her.
Even though that benefit is removed from the original ribis, we're still considering the problem.
It's not. Why is it removed from the original ribis? There is no original ribis. Is arvach? He's marviach la zimna, which is hamtan. That's the natar, and the agar of the natar is the kiddushin. No, for Tosas it's the pruta you don't have to pay, and for the Rajba and the Ritva, why isn't the kiddushin that he gets out of it?
Because she can't give herself directly to him.
So what? But he gets her anyway. So what difference does it make whether he can? Her not giving herself to him is a function that, I mean, we're now going in circles, is a function of kiyikach ish isha. There's no problem of he wasn't mekadesh her by getting her. He was mekadesh her by giving her arvach hazman. That's kiyikach ish isha. The question is, in the aggregate, did he walk away with tarbis?
I think what Moshe is trying to say, if I'm wrong, is that maybe if he's mekadesh her with the hana and the kedushin offset each other, so you can no longer view the Kiddushin as...
The Hana doesn't offset the Kiddushin. She gets the Hana, and he gets the Kiddushin. But that's the case of every case of Ribbis.
So there's a Milveth principle, and there's a separate exchange.
Every case of Ribbis is a case where I give you a $100 loan, but I'm giving it to you for $110. It's worth it for the Lova because the Lova otherwise won't get money, or won't get money for a longer period, and it's worth it to the Malva because he's getting an extra payment. That's a case that's happening here in Kiddushin. I'm being Marbiach Vizman, which is what Ribbis is, and I'm getting in exchange for Kiddushin. But the Kiddushin Kesef is the Harvachas Hazman. The Ribbis was what the Malva walks away from. That is either the money that he saves or the Kiddushin that he now has that he didn't have previously before this transaction. Okay. Well, we'll get back to, I think there's another point, maybe what you'll tell me later, if it's correct, that may be relevant, more relevant to this. But all I'm trying to show is that, number one, we have three shittos so far. We have Rashi, who thinks that there's nothing here. There is Tosus, who thinks that the ribbis is the pruta that you save. By that in itself, there are two points in Tosus, right? Number one is, a pruta that you save is a tarbis. What I really want to emphasize is that it's hard to pin this down, but at least the questions, is that there are two issues that are, as there often are, two issues that interact here. One is the ribbis question, and the other is the kedushin question. And it's hard to know which of these is driving the other. What kind of agar, we'll call it, is necessary for ribbis? And what kind of agar is provided by Kiddushin? But in the Kiddushin question, I'm breaking it down into two, right? What kind of agar is provided by Kiddushin in a more direct way, if we're talking about Shavapruta, that you save, etc.? What kind of agar is required by Kiddushin if you're just assessing the Kiddushin itself? Okay? So, if you don't like Tosis, you could not like Tosis for several reasons. Again, the Pnei Yeshua just highlights it by saying, who says that you have to be Makadosh through Kesef?
But you were.
When you were?
He was Makadosh through Kesef.
I mean, that's true. So, but it doesn't have to be. But since he didn't have to. Right, but since he didn't have to.
But he was. He's gaining a punta.
Not really.
She
was Miskadeshes for that reason. But since he didn't. That's a question in general. Do you assess. Well, we'll get to this in just a second. That are you looking at it from her point of view or from his point of view? Right. Let me say it this way. In Ribbis in general, this is the first sugya in Ezu Neshach. But again, it's just much more complicated than that, and also the Maskana. There's something called Tarbis, and there's something called Neshach. Right? Right, the first Mishnah in Ezu Neshach is Ezu Neshach Ve'ezu Tarbis. Then the Mishnah, it's very strange. We're not going into details. The Mishnah describes it in different ways. And the Gemara, Mid the Shavik, the Ribis, the Raisa, the Kamafarish, the Rabban, the Machal, the Raisa, the Neshach, the Tar, Bischad, and Ilsahi, Valkroi, Ksivi, Neshach, Kesef, Ribis, Ochel. The whole first Shaklavataria in the Gemara in Bambatsia, it revolves around whether or not there's a difference between what we call, the Torah uses two phrases to explain Ribis. One is called Neshach, and the other is called Tarbis. Tarbis is the revach of the malva. Neshech is the loss, kishmo kein heim, right? Neshech is the loss of the lova. If you take the pashtus, the simple answer of the Gemara, on daf, what was it, Samech Omud Beis, here in Bav Metzia, the Gemara ends up seemingly denying that there's ever a case in which you have one and you don't have the other. So the Gemara says, "Elam Arava iya tamotze lo neshach velo tarbis lo tarbis velo neshach velo chilken akasev elo labar lo b'shnei lab." The problem is that there are other Gemaras, and the views of many Rishonim and Mefarshim is that that isn't the case. That in the classical case of Ribbis, it's true that there's a neshach lelova and there's a tarbis lemalva, but there are cases where we really split up the perspective of each. And in a way, as I said, just like I said a moment ago, about two ways to look at the problem of Ribbis, one in terms of the expansion and therefore the inequity of exchanging a loan for a loan plus, as opposed to the other perspective, which is the loans are equal, but I'm causing you to pay to get a loan. And therefore, it's the payment, right, which doesn't, you know, it's just, you know, extortion payment, whatever you want to call it. Not looking at it from a you know, financial point of view necessarily, but in terms of the morality of it. So, and that, so too, you can look at, you know, ribis from the neshech side, in which case, again, you're using your advantage really to, you know, to impose suffering, let's say, on the lova. That's one way to look at it, similarly to what we said before. Or from the tarbis point of view, which is that the malva is unjustifiedly, right, benefiting, you know, in this particular case. He can sometimes unjustifiably benefit, right, even when the lova doesn't necessarily lose. And that is relevant to what we're discussing here as well. The Machne Ephraim, I don't want to go into the details of this either because this will take too long, but the Machne Ephraim in Hukos Ribis in Simen Tess discusses, you know, whether these aren't cases of tarbis below Nesha, these cases of Kiddushin, or a person says Adabra Alayich L'Shilton, or Adabra Alecha L'Shilton in a Milva case, whether there aren't really cases of Tarbis below Neshech, just there might be cases of Neshech below Tarbis. The sugya in Bab Metzia, and in Bava Kama, about, you know, Zenene v'Zelo Chaser, right? Those are examples also of cases where you have possibly Tarbis below Neshech. So that may be relevant to this case too. He might be Bekadesh, I mean, the Pnei Yeshua knows this too. He might be Bekadesh with the Hana of Harvachas Hazman, but in assessing whether or not, you know, that qualifies independently as his tarbis, right, that might depend not on what he did, but on whether or not what he did was meaningful to the result that he got, because, you know, he could have done it this way, he could have done it that way. So he did it this way, that's true. But that doesn't necessarily constitute an illegal act from a ribbis point of view when he had alternatives, and therefore it doesn't necessarily disqualify him in terms of ribbis itself. That is what the Pnei Yeshua was suggesting. Now, of course, the Pnei Yeshua suggestion also, I would reformulate your question a little bit, not, oh, he did it, but the question is there any significance that he went this route? In other words, another way to answer the Pnei Yeshua's question, but in other words, let's say it this way. If achieving Kiddushin, B'derech Kesef, B'derech Shtar, B'derech Kiddushei Bia are all interchangeable, right? There are three methods, at least with, you know, respect to many things. It's not three different, you know, types of Kiddushin, but it's just, you know, it's applications of one idea. Then I think the Pnei Yeshua's Ha'ara is a very valuable one. Lemaisa, he went this route, but the fact that he could have accomplished the same thing in another route, certainly, and we're dealing with, you know, the amount of money that he, let's say, saved. So he saved a pruta, but he didn't really save a pruta because he had alternatives. True, he went this route. He didn't have to go this route. So that constitutes, you know, a reason to think that this isn't tarpis. However, let's say we say that Kiddushei Kesef, and this is something that we have spoken about several times already this year, right? Let's say that the Darkei HaKiddushin aren't the Darkei HaKiddushin, notwithstanding Iska Shavayas Lahadadi, really represent different emphases, different ways of being Mekadesh. And maybe there are even Nafkamina regarding, you know, things like Ede Kiyum, right? And Amira, not just for technical reasons, right? Maybe because this is a Dine Mamanis method, and that's a, you know, Nisuin method, and this is a Ishus, you know, contrary to Gerishin method. So then I would say what you just said, but for that reason. In other words, then the fact that I chose the root of Kesef makes irrelevant, perhaps, the fact that I could have gone a different route. But the more they are interchangeable, and of course they might reflect different perspectives, but with regard to this particular issue, they might be interchangeable. But anyway, that is the argument of the Pnei Yeshua. If, of course, we take the Rajba Ritva problem to begin with, we'll see what they say in a moment, which is that the problem is that the Tarbis, which is the Agarnatar, is not the saved Pruta, right? But the Kiddushin itself, right? The Heseg, if you want to call it the Heseg, of being, right, of having Kiddushin, which is considered a Heseg. Maybe the fact that normally you pay a Pruta shows it's a Heseg, but presumably we all agree it's a Heseg of some sort, although we'll see what the Ritva and the Rajba say about it in just a second. If we take that view, then of course it's not about the Pruta, and the whole Pnei Yehoshua question becomes moot. So what is that the Rajba and Ritva? Yeah.
Was that not Pnei Yehoshua? I thought he wasn't saying that the Baal is not gaining anything. I thought he was just saying that from the perspective of Yipisha,
yeah,
she really couldn't care less whether she gets a Pruta or whether she was miskadesh as Bekidush Yishtai.
Okay.
Therefore,
oh, I thought he said on the Baal too, but do you have language? I have to look.
So Gam Bezeh, the Lochah Shavir Bezgamer, the after the Balav Haki Ritzona, the Hiskadish will behold the Hu, meaning behold the Hu of Kiddushay Kesef, even less than a Pruta, or the Kiddushay Shtar, or not receive a Pruta at all. The Xeris HaKosef Hu Shatehene. So, but like the Torah, like...
Yeah, he has... Right. So the Pnei Yehoshua himself, let me just add that, and then I'll get to your point. They're really... actually, we should just do it already, since we have it. But the Pnei Yehoshua really is very consistent here. Just one second. Yeah. The Pnei Yehoshua, number one, isn't he trying to explain... He's trying to explain why it's not Ribbis, correct?
Right. He's explaining Shitas Rashi why it's not Ribbis, but he's coming at it from the perspective of the...
Her rather than him?
Yeah.
Okay, that doesn't bother me so much. The first point is because the Kiddushin is... What's that?
It's because he's arguing the same Yisod as the Machane Ephraim, that it's not no
Shitas. Right. No, that's what it seems like he said.
So okay, good.
She's not Chaser with anything.
She's not Chaser because either way she wouldn't have got it. Okay, the same question but could apply...
His point is that you can't... Right. His point is that you see that she's not really... She always wants to get married.
She doesn't care how.
Right. So you can never talk about her being cheated out of a Shavu Pruta for marriage.
Right. Okay. And therefore, he doesn't. Therefore, it's not Ribbis.
Right.
He's arguing from the Neshach point of view.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's why at the end of the piece, he quotes the Zenen of Zelokasa, Palvini, Vidar, Mukhasir,
right, right. Okay. I'm saying the analysis is the same. He's just coming from Neshach, but that's fine. But go ahead. Keep going. There's a second point in the Pnei Yehoshua, right?
But it's different because he's not saying that the fact that he could have been Mekadesh her with Shtar means that he's not gaining anything.
Right. He still definitely gains. It's just that she doesn't lose.
Right.
Okay. I think you can make the same argument as long as you're looking from Tarbis point of view, but if it doesn't make... The basic thing is that...
The Pnei Yehoshua won't help somebody who disagrees with Machane Ephraim.
About Neshach and Tarbis.
Right.
Okay. But there's a second point in the Pnei Yehoshua. Isn't that it's not even a Pruta, that the Pruta itself here, doesn't he say that? That it's Xeris HaKosuv?
Yeah, so he said, Elod Xeris HaKosuv Hu Shetayin, Mi Hu Mimen Mishavet Pruta. So, Ashi Hinani Yosef Yosef Amashi Miskadesh, then Kain means Erev Islam. And then he compares it to Vodah Fil of Armas Chok the Fanai or Kul the Fanai.
Right. So he's saying three things, right?
Right, so he brings other models of cases where the Inyan Kiddushin we consider something to be Shavat Pruta, but the Inyan Ribbis is not common.
Correct. And the question is why?
Right, so I think the Yisod is just what we've been saying, is that there's no Neshach.
Right, okay. I think it come from either perspective, but the point is that Kesef is not the same as Neshach, and Kesef is not necessarily the same as Tarbis either. Now, the question also is, let's say you have a complex... let's say you have a complex arrangement, right, which has... You know, good and bad mixed together, or it isn't purely Latov, or isn't purely Lara. What will we say about that?
meaning lera, meaning that there is some neshek, meaning like a
lova. Let's say there's not pure neshek, or let's say there's an, or from the malva's point, it's the same again, depending on which side you want to come from.
What would they mean? There's not pure neshek.
Let's say that in
the
aggregate.
Stands the game?
What's that?
That the lova stands the game.
No, let's say that the lova's loss is not absolute, or that the malva's gain is not absolute. Meaning, there's some ambivalence, even though in net we're going to get to this in just a second.
Right.
This is the question. Okay, so let's discuss.
It sounds like you mount your all of its derivatives that way.
No, I'm not talking about in the transaction. I'm talking about in the identified agarnatar. Chalila.
What's the distinction?
Anybody who enters into a transaction, especially willingly, which is in the case of Ribbis, you know, does so because he has a benefit. But in that case, his benefit is a set, if in the broadest sense, is as if there were no DNA, you know, is it would be beneficial if there were no DNA Ribbis. Obviously, that doesn't count here.
Even with the
Ribbis. Let's get very specific very quickly. Let's take the Ritva first. Go ahead. What does the Ritva say? Just get the Ritva in first. What does the Ritva say? The Ritva, again, just to sum up so far. So Kiddushin, according to Rashi, this is not a case of Ribbis. According to Tosis, it would be a case of Ribbis because of the Pruta. If you take the view that, again, the Pnei Yeshua's Ha'ara is that this isn't even a case of Pruta because of the alternatives. Again, he's focusing on the alternatives of the Neshech, and we'll soon see that the same thing may be true for the Tarbis. But the point is that there may be a difference already where we're seeing that there may be a distinction between what constitutes Hana Legabe Kiddushin for the Isha or for the Isha, frankly, and what is considered to be Ribbis for the Malve and or for the Love. Okay. But that's with regard to the Pruta itself. In general, whether saving a Pruta constitutes a tarbis is a question in Ribbis too. Now then we have the Ritva and the Rajba, who basically were troubled not by the problem of saving a Pruta, but by the benefit of walking away with an Ishus as a result of this transaction. Here we have two different answers. The Rajva we're more familiar with, but we'll talk about in just a second. What is the Ritva's answer? The Ritva's the answer that is often quoted, I guess a little bit half humorously. But go ahead. Kikona Adon Liatzma. So the question is, what does the Ritva mean by that? It sounds like he's taking seriously the idea that the Kiddushin is a Ribbis, and the only question is, why is it not, by saying Kikona Adon Liatzmo, he's talking about the Tarbis part. He's saying this is not a, what he calls, slam dunk, let's say, for the Malva. Now again, bit pashtus, what he's saying is, the poor guy, you know, he doesn't know, I feel badly. Yeah.
What?
We haven't shaken your very core, have we? By quoting the Ritva?
Oh, got it. Yeah. No, she's worth more than a show.
No, but we're going to show in a moment, I'm going to suggest in a moment, that the Ritva doesn't deny it either. Yeah, go ahead. Can we just finish the Ritva, or is this something relevant to it?
I was
going to
ask
the Just hold off 1 minute. So let me just get the Ritva. So the Ritva again is speaking about the rebach of the malve rather than the neshek of the love. Correct? And what he's saying is that's kikona adon liatzmo. The problem with that is, and this I think the Machane Efraim also picks up on, is that, number one, so why is he doing it? That part he doesn't pick up on. Right? Why is he doing it? Right? No one's. There's no father-in-law in this particular case, you know, who's pressuring him. Right? And according to the Balaitra, that might not even work. Right? So, like, why? What do you mean? He obviously wants this, so why does Kikone Adon La'atzmo solve the problem? Correct? That's number one. On a personal level here, you know, this is something that he is initiating and doing. So why isn't that considered? Why isn't that koveya legabe ribis if he has hanas agavra? And not just hanas agavra, but yuzma. Secondly, it's against, this I believe is what the Machan Ephraim adds, and other achronim, and that is it's against the Gemara in, seemingly against the Gemara in Nedarim. Right? Gemara Nedarim on Lamed Ches says that if you're mudr hana, right, in a mudr hana situation, so marrying off your daughter to this person is a violation of mudr hana, because this is like also an extreme formulation, but it's intended to be. It's not really meant, it's a melitza. Right, kikone, how does the language of the Gemara go? Kikone shifcha. Kimosa lo shifcha l'shamsha. And therefore, it's a violation of, correct? You have the Gemara there?
No.
Oh, it's a violation of mudrana, correct?
Can I save that Gemara for next week?
What?
Can I save that Gemara for next
week? Well, you have till August. So, you know what you do. You know, like, what do they say? That everybody in, about the Bali Musar all say that, you have Anochi Afar Vefar in one pocket, and, Bishvili Nivra Olam in the other pocket. So what you do is you have, the Ritva in one pocket, and then you have the Gemara in Darim in the other pocket.
I always leave my Gemara, and I also leave my Ritva behind.
Yeah. If I ever find my Avnei Miloim, well, put that in the third pocket. Anyway, so everybody with me here? So the point is that the Kekona Odol Miatzma, while it is definitely eyebrow raising and definitely subject, to all sorts of Yaakov here also, we have to be very careful what we say. So while we it's a very striking line and it's one which is often taken out of context, we shouldn't lose sight that the case is one in which obviously he's very enthusiastic to be Mekadesh, so that there's Hanos Agavra. Number two, the subjective Hana in this case. Number two, as I say, if there's a Gemara Nedarim, which in the context of Mudra Hana says exactly the opposite, so how do we understand the Ritva? Right. So this is a good question. Machan Ephraim gives an answer of some sort to this question, but I think the Pashtos, the answer is what I was trying to say a second ago, which is, you can have it's an interesting ribbis question when but this I don't mean by, to answer Tamar's question, the bigger picture. What I mean is specifically on what you're getting as agar natar. When you get agar natar, which is ambivalent or which is complex, in other words, which has, like, many things. If I give you a dollar, or I give you $100, or I give you, most gifts. So there, I'm not talking about sonei matanos yichya. Right, or if you're a Kliyakar person, right? You mentioned Kliyakar yesterday. So if you're a Kliyakar person, so like the worst thing in the world I could do for you, is give you, $1,000. The more money I give you, the worse it is for you. But giving you any money is probably pretty terrible, right? But that's an important, I guess, moral perspective, which different Bali and Masora have different views about. Definitely the Ramah didn't feel that way, and others didn't either. But, nobody, including Kliyakar, will tell you that, giving somebody a gift, or despite Sonim Matanis Yechia, or giving somebody money isn't considered to be Hana, or Revach, or Tarbis, etc. But let's say I give you something which includes, benefits, but it also includes obligations. Even then, maybe there are different, categories within that. But let's say, in other words, I give you something which is complex and in which there are aspects that, vie for a certain definition. So under those conditions, what I still might, this is my suggestion, that I still might say that with regard to Mudra Hana, right, that what counts is the net, or the aggregate, right, the totality. Indeed, you could probably make, I don't want to get into that now, but Mudra Hana is a less formal category in general. I mean, the Meiri and the Darim discusses the possibility that, even even though shava pruta is, let's say, the hagdara for hana and for mamon and certain things, that mudra hana might even be less than a pruta. Very fascinating idea. But either way, the point here is more probably that tarbis, right, and probably neshech, let's step away for the moment, a moment from the question of which one more than the other, right? Again, some people think there's no such thing as one without the other. Others think that you could have, and then there's a question, is it tarbis below neshech, or is it neshech below tarbis, or both of them, or either of them. So I'll leave that for the moment, even though there might be nafkamina here. I accept what you're saying, that the Pnei Yeshua is focusing on the neshech, and certainly, as I said before, that's what the Machne Ephraim is focusing on. But the point is that the hagdaros of neshech and of tarbis, right, do not necessarily have to align with the hagdara of hana shavapruta, or even of mudra hana. They have to be, perhaps, more unequivocally, right? Because again, let's also remember that the whole ribbis, this goes back to the first shiur on this topic, the whole ribbis is a gzeres hakasu, it's not a gzeres hakasu, the whole ribbis is a chiddush haTorah and an expansion of the notion of chesed. We can never get away from, never should get away from the Ramban's, ha'ara in his Perush al HaTorah, that this is not discriminatory, right? It is supererogatory. It's lifnim mishura sadin. It's a built-in lifnim mishura sadin that then maybe becomes a gezel, and that's very mechudash. But for to be that way, considering everything was done voluntarily, albeit maybe with some pressure from the marketplace, but not necessarily. Remember, you violate the Isser. Does it make a difference, whether or not the person you're lending money to Ribbis is a very wealthy man, or somebody? The answer is, it doesn't make any difference, as we said. The parshios of Ribbis are in the parshios of Tzedakah, and I think that's very important, that I've tried to emphasize that. I believe it's true. But I'm not bothered, as I said yesterday, by the fact that Ribbis, applies Bein Lani and Bein Lashim. The same idea. So is it all because of Lo Plug, because of the cases of the people who need it? I can't dismiss that idea, but I don't think it's true. I really think that it's a category of chesed, of not making excessive money or a certain kind of money, from your family members, right? Not from your children, not from your parents, not from your brothers and sisters. And Klal Yisrael are that to each other. And that's why the Rambam thought that this is a din that has to be exclusive to Klal. You undermine it by being, seemingly kind in the same way to others, because then what you're saying is, oh, this is about right and wrong, and then when you apply it to your brother and to your sister, a Klal Yisrael member, right, it's no longer an expression of love and identity. Okay, so the point is, for that very reason, the ribbis, the tarbis, and the neshech, perhaps, I'm not saying everybody agrees, but according to these views, the tarbis and the neshech have to be relative to things like mudr hana or the hagdara of mamon shavapruta, kesef. They have to be more unequivocal. And that's, I think, what the Ritva said. Now, is that also the yisod of the Rajba? Not necessarily. So again, just to come back for a second, I'll add one other point, and that is, of course, does this cut into the cuteness of the Rajba? Sure. Right? Meaning, is the Rajba, making a statement about marriage? Or is he trying to answer why this isn't tarbis in Hilchos Ribbis? Right? So what I'm trying to suggest, obviously, is that while it's a very striking language, really what he's saying is a Hilchos Ribbis comment, not so much a Hilchos Ishus comment. That's really what I'm suggesting. Now, the Rajba, I would say, is saying exactly, or the perspective in the Rajba is exactly opposite this. I'm just trying to figure out how you're doing, like all that stuff, keeping it up, like afloat. It's like, I don't know. It's like you know, those three-dimensional chess things a little bit. What does Rajba say? Aaron? I keep skirting around the Rajba, you know. What does he say?
If I remember correctly, he says that it's not considered ribbis because she's not being a machmen or guf.
There's no kinyan aguf, and therefore there's no ribbis. Oh. So, again, I think the same question that we raised in the Ritva, we can legitimately raise in the Rajba. Namely, is this more of a chiddush or more of a statement in Hilchos Yishus or in Hilchos Ribbis? And is the argument between the different Rishonim who give different answers here more about an argument in Ribbis or more an assessment of Kiddushim? So again, if somebody wants to argue, they could certainly argue. Again, in the case of the Ritva, I think it's a Davar Pashut based on the Gemara and the Darim and everything else. I think it's pretty clear with regard to the Rajba too, that the emphasis in this case is not so much Hilchos Ribbis, but in the case of the Rajba, Hilchos Ishus. In other words, the Rajba, Dafka requires, Kinyan Aguf, take the contrast. What's the language of the Rajba, by the way? Go ahead, Isaac. So you have a contrast there. Kivin deguf, again, kivin daguf lo kanile. Yeah. So is it that, ribbis, is the Rajma making the statement that, for ribbis you require a kinyan aguf? Anything less than a kinyan aguf is not ribbis? Or is he really trying to highlight that kiddushin is not a kinyan aguf? I'm sorry, that kiddushin is not ribbis because of the nature of kiddushin. Meaning, this isn't an acquisition at all, never mind the level of acquisition. Rather, it is a yitziros achalos. It's a creation of a bond between them. Now, the methodology is one of ki yikach ish isha, right, Moshe? And there's no question that the result of this kinyan is, right, that he has certain rights, that she has certain rights, and so on. Part of his rights express themselves in a seemingly kinyan kaspo kind of a way. Again, kinyan kaspo with regard to truma, midoraisa, depends on erusin, as we know. That's why the Tos Rosh made the statement that he made in the context of discussing kinyan kaspo, no question. And we talked already about Nistap Chasadeyu and all the other, the Zebra Chinuch, meaning... I do think that there are different perspectives in the Rishonim regarding, the centrality of this or that aspect or this or that dimension of Ishus. And we've seen a wide range throughout the year already. Having said that, and among them, the Rajba making the statement that she's not a kinyan aguf and therefore there's no ribbis, in my opinion, is one who is emphasizing that this is that kinyan is simply the method here to create an ishus, and therefore this isn't a tarbis. But what I'm trying to suggest is that in that respect, the Rajma and the Ritva are opposites. The ikar chiddush of the Ritva, in my opinion, is in Hilchos Ribbis. And the equal, and the a main chiddush of the Rajba is in Hilchos Ishus, which then is applied to Hilchos Ribbis. Yeah.
So the Rashba says, "Kim Gufa Mamish so Kani Lei."
Yeah.
Sounds a little bit like he's implying that there is something that's being nicknacked.
Well, I don't think so. I think what he's saying is that it's a relationship kinyan and not a chefza kinyan.
Why
because there's the word mamish?
Why does he mistake it with the Lashon Gemara? Why does he say Gufa Mamish?
Huh?
If not Gufa Mamish, it sounds like there's something else.
Me, you're worried about the word mamish?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'm not really so concerned about it. And again, as we saw, it definitely is working off of the Gemara that we just read on Bava Beis. Because it also does say Kinyan Kaspo. He's not going to deny that the Chalos Ishus ends up resulting in things in which he has rights over her. All I'm saying is, what he is saying is that the Maisa Kiddushin, as well as the Chalos Ishus, doesn't initiate with that and isn't primarily about that. So these other things that come about are part of the, you know, the result of the chalos and so on. That's what I think he's really trying to say. Yeah, you said something about Tosfos. Yeah,
is it possible that when he's saying he's saying that the value of the Kiddushin or the Isha is determined by what he would have given, kind of factually where he would have been with Kaddish or Kesef? You should just let him fix that.
You mean that the Tosfos is also saying what the Rajma is saying?
Yeah.
I mean, with the Rajma and the Ritva is through. I do think that's possible. Meaning that instead of Tosfos saying that the ribis is the saving of a pruta, what he's saying is the fact that you give a pruta indicates that the kiddushin is in a conversion sense at least is a pruta. Yeah, I do think that is correct. I like that. God, I was going to say something like that as well. So Baruch Shekivanti. I like it. And again, I think that's an interesting question again, because if you take Tosfos Kapshuta, one of the things I was suggesting that the other Rishonim don't like it is, number one, because it's indirect, but number two, because it's negative. Is it necessarily true that you can have either Neshech or Tarbis in this particular case of something that is negative? In other words, I lost because I could have got a Pruta, or I won because I would have had to, you know, get a Pruta from somewhere else. Is that Rebis, is that... By the way, you might be Bechalik between Neshech and Rebis, but especially, as I said before, because Neshech and Rebis, to me, point a little bit to different Mechaibim in Rebis itself. But I think the alternative is that even Tosfos is trying to say... Tosfos is really answering the Rajba, in a way, saying, it's true, maybe, that Kiddushin isn't... You don't walk away with the Isha... Right, but the chalos kiddushin is worth a pruta. And by the way, especially this may be true, and this is where I was going to bring it in, for the Avnei Miluim. So I'm just going to repeat what I've said before, which is that the Avnei Miluim love this Rajba. That you don't need me to say, that's objectively discernible, because he quotes it very often. But I don't know if you need me to say this either, but in my opinion, the Rajba was extended and reinterpreted, you know, in an ironic way by the Avnei Miluim. Okay? I've said it before, I'm just adding to it now. Meaning, in Siman Mem Beis, was that the right place? Sif Katan Aleph, as we end in the Tshuva, right in the back of the Avnei Miluim. So the Avnei Miluim quotes the Rajba, ironically, to explain why he is such a devotee of the... Number one, the Ran and the Darim, why he thinks that the Rajba and the Ran and the Dharma are two sides of the same coin, and why he is also such a devotee of the Sma in Choshe Mishpat. Correct? Oh, I have to apologize to the few people who weren't here the first semester, but okay. Right? You'll forgive me? You'll think about it. You don't have to commit right now. Okay. But now this is a little bit of Chazar. Meaning the Sma in Choshe Mishpat, who says that, you know, Shava Pruta is Tchilas Piron, and then the Taz said, what are you talking about? How could that be? Kicha kicha mister. You're going to say that the woman is being exchanged for, she's being bought out by a pruta or by Tchilas Piron. So the Avnei Miluim says, absolutely. Right? Everybody like gasps with horror. And then he says, you know why? Because of the Rajba. And then we all like, what? Because, and I stick with this, although, you know, with absolute respect for the Avnei Miluim, I think I totally understand what the Avnei Miluim did, but I just think it's always worth noting that this is his Chiddush, that it's ironic, and that it's not necessarily what the Rajba had in mind. Meaning, if you read this Rajba, just like if you read the Ritva, you would walk away with a certain, in isolation certainly, you'd walk away with a certain perspective, which I think, in light of the Gemara Nedarim and everything else, is wrong because it's a ribbis halacha, right? Although it's still an interesting formulation, and I wouldn't discount that part of it. So too, if you look at the Rajba, there are really two opposite ways you could take it, right? The way I take it always is that Ishus is not a kinyan aguf. You know, it's basically an agreement between these two B'nai Das, you know, that they're going to create this bond together. The methodology is ki ikach ish isha. The roles are different, both in the Maisa Kedushin and in the Chalosa Ishus and everything else. That's true. But in the end of the day, the reason that we're emphasizing that there's no kinyan aguf, or even better, Ali, right? No kinyan aguf, mamish, is because what we're saying is that would trivialize the ishus, right? And the way I say it is, that's why the Rajba of Al Rishonim on Gimel Amud Aleph, more than anybody else, you know, wanted you to know that even when we were comparing Isha of Kicha Kicha to Stei Ephron to Karka, we never were saying that Isha's Kakarka. We were only comparing the Sugei Akinyanim, never anything more, right? The Rajba has a tshuva, by the way. I don't know if we did it then. Simin Lamed Aleph, where the Rajba considers the possibility, I think Avraham Miliam quotes out in the tshuva, that you maybe can be Mekadosh and Isha with Isurei Ana, after all. Right? Since it isn't really that kind of a kinyan. Right? There's no real it's not a Shavapruta. And then the Maskana is that you can't. But the way I read the Rajba is that the Rajba is going very far to dispel, you know, what the Tosa Rosh builds up in terms of Kinyan Kaspo. Or to say those dinim are a consequence, you know, but that is not the Maisa Kedushin, and it's not what the Isha is. It's not the Kinyan Kedushin either. The Kinyan Kedushin is her giving up what he's Kone, and what she's Makne is her right to marry someone else. Or because the Kinyan Kone Makne, the Kone Makne equation or dynamic is the Hagdara of Ishus of the creation of this Kalos. Right? But we want to keep this as far away as possible. In other words, to me, it's a reflection of the transcendence of the Ishus. The way that the Avnei Miluim took it, right, is exactly the opposite. What he's saying is, there's no real Kinyan Aguf, and therefore the Kinyan that takes place here is of a more limited and narrower fashion. And because that is true, it's not ribis. And because that is true, you don't really need... There's more reason to think that the Das HaIsha in this transaction is less required. Because if it was a real transaction, a real change, a real acquisition, then you'd really require Das. Like for me, it's the opposite. I'm saying, light of the Avnei Miluim, it's a meeting of minds, it's a creation of a Chalos. It's not merely a typical Kono Makne. So you might need more Das. More antithetical, that's why you're correct when you said the Ran, right? I would always pair the Rajba, I wouldn't pair the Rajba and the Ran, I would think that they would be opposites. But the Avnei Miluim, L'shitaso, he loves the Ran and the Darim, he loves the Rajba here in Kiddushin, right? Mechabed all the Rishonim, but he also thinks that they're the same. And of course, she can be Mafkir Atzma because nothing much is happening in this Kiddushin, and therefore you don't require her Das. If you require her das, it's just that she shouldn't object, right? And therefore, that's what the tshuva is. The tshuva is about Isurei Ana and things of that sort. And that's why he says, okay, so that's why the sma is perfect. The Rajma would hold like the sma. He'd embrace the sma because you could put. Can you put a dollar price on her value in this kedushin? To me, if you ask me, can the Rajma put a dollar price on the kedushin? The shavapruta is symbolic. It's exeris akasav or it's real. I mean, either way, it's not. Real, but, right? I would say, of course, for the Rajba and his formulation, more than anything else, you know, Shavapruta is just a formal way of establishing the relations between them. The Avnei Miluim says, no, not true. The Sma's right. It's a Shavapruta. Tchilas Piron. How can you put up? No. Because there's not much of an acquisition going on here. There's no kinyan aguf. It's just the haskama to give up her rights to marry someone else or whatever. So you don't need much of a level of das. You don't need much of a piron. You don't need, you know, and so on. And it's like the Ran. So that is the Abnei Miluim. Again, I'm not telling you, Chalila, that it's wrong. I'm just telling you that it's not the only way to read the Rajba, and it's not the way that I would have read it. It's fascinating, right? But the point is, in the end of the day, whether you hold like the Abnei Miluim, you know, take on the Rajba. Anybody find that tshuva? Similamid Aleph? I think it's similar. I think it's Chelek Aleph. If not, I'll bring it in for Sunday. You have it?
It's not Lamed Aleph, no. It's not Chelek Aleph.
Oh, it's not. Okay, I'll find it. Where he talks about Yisurei Anah. That is it Lamed, maybe? You looked at Aleph, Lamed Aleph, and it's not there? I may have remembered it wrong. Okay, don't worry, don't waste time. I'll find it. But the point either way is that even according to the Avnei Miluim, this is not a statement about Ribbis. Right? In my opinion, the Ritva's statement is about Ribbis. The Rajba's statement is about Kiddushin. It's about Tarbis and Neshek. Now there's another point too, and that is a point again that was made by the Machne Ephraim, I believe, and that is from the perspective of the Ritva and of the Rajba, right? And maybe according to... let's leave it at that. The Rajba and the Ritva. Is all of those... Are those factors, Misha Kona, Isha Kona, Adon Liatzma, right? And the other one, right? Ein Kinyan Aguf Mamish, whatever. Are those relevant to Erisin or only to Nesuin? Again, according to the Amnei Miluim, it's probably relevant to Erisin. According to, you know, everything else, I think it's also relevant to Erisin. But at least take the Ritva at minimum. Is that relevant to Erisin or to Nesuin? When you assess, in other words, I walk away with this Ishus, is this Ishus Tarbis for me? Is it Neshech for her? Obviously, she wants it, so we'll get that in a second. Is there a difference between, you might say, one thing about the Erisin and something quite different about the Nesuin? So this, once again, highlights, I mentioned it in Israel when we gave the, I can't call it the Skype share anymore, right? Is it the Hangout share? It sounds like so interesting, right?
Sounds but like it's a Kieran rabbi.
Right. No, but and I also discovered it's not a hangout, it's hangouts. Right? I was very, very puzzled by that. First I thought I had the wrong app, but it was the right one. The Hangouts share, yeah, the Kiruv share. I saw the signs all over the place about a mitzvah of Kiruv. Yeah. So yeah. What was I saying? Yeah, so the
telling us how we have to marry Jewish girls.
Yeah, so Machne Ephraim, what's that? I think I mentioned there also that you know, when I added Adam's Hara about the Ramban, about Karafasi and others, right? So I think I also mentioned that there's a... one of the Lashonos that we didn't get a chance to discuss as much is whether or not it feels a Lashon Nesuin and Kiddushin. Right? That's a further highlight of the question whether Erisin and Nesuin are totally distinct institutions or whether or not one is considered to be the beginning of the other. So that, too, is part of this question of Ribbis in the Erisin when you're assessing the impact, you know, L'tova or L'ra'a on the, on the payment of the Erisin based on the reality of the Nesu. So just to add here also that both the Meiri and the Tosas Riazaken, their take on this doesn't revolve around him like the Ritva or Tosas in that sense, but revolves around her. Yeah. The Ritva.
That Erisin triggers all the feelings from the Baal.
That Erisin trigger, like I said, like the one in Ksuvis.
Yeah.
Could be. It would work very well. Because, again, he more than anyone. Kekona Adon Liatzmo certainly is in the sewer. And that's what the Machne Ephraim really bothered by. And so maybe Lashitaso, it's a good Ha'ara, because we noted when we talked about the relationship in the beginning of the year that the Ritva and Ksuvis always says that the Erisin really is, you know, the one that triggers the Nisuin Bishaito. So that's a nice, that's a good example of what we're saying. 100%. Okay. Alex? So it's also, again? So what's interesting about that is that Tosfos Ri HaZaken's answer to this question is basically to examine from her point of view. And typically, again, there's neshech for a lova. Correct? Here, she's nana. But it's interesting how he doesn't emphasize the downside for him, only the upside for her. He could have done it either way. He could have said, oh, it's not perfect for him. He has mizonos. So is it possible, regarding the issue that I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, right, especially in the Ritva, but in general, namely, when it comes to Neshech and Tarbis, give me one more minute. What if there's a more complex posture? Right? Let's say you have the Agar Natar is something, right, as we just discussed, you know, which in the aggregate clearly is either beneficial or detrimental, right, depending whether we're talking about the Tarbis or the Neshech, or the Malva or the Lova, right? But it's complex. Like, there are trade-offs. So goof on that question. That's why would the Tosfos Ri HaZaken Dafka focus on the Lova and not on the Malva? Is what I'm asking. So it could be because in general, you know, Ribbis is really driven more by the Lova, notwithstanding the line in the Gemara that whatever. If it's really a Neshech-oriented halacha, very possible. Now those, they're panim lekan or lekan. There are people who think either, or you need both, or one really is more than the other. But that's not for now. Or maybe gufa in this ambivalent question, right, about what happens when you have a complex, you know, albeit net, you know, one way, you know, but with ambivalence mixed in. Maybe that's the difference between maybe tarbis goes by the net. And Neshech, you know, goes by it not being an absolute negative. The Gemara in the beginning of Ezu Neshech, you know, has some interesting Havaminas about being Mechalik between Tarbis and Neshech, even when both exist at the same time, between Kesef and Peros, for example, or other cases. Then the Gemara calls out on it, what are you talking about? No, there's Tarbis there, but there's Neshech too. What are you talking about? There's Neshech there, but there's Tarbis too. But what do they think for a second? So I always thought it's that these are different B'chaivim, and that even when you have them both, sometimes you have them both, but part of it is that one comes from the other, and the question is which from which, and there are differences. Anyways, that's a Tosfos Ri HaZaken. What does the Meiri say? I think page 33.
I think Tosfos Ri HaZaken is making a slightly different point. It's not about whether the she comes out net total with the game,
okay,
but that gufa, the thing that she's giving as ribbis, is a hanah for her.
What do you mean the thing that she's giving as ribbis?
She's giving
herself
as ribbis.
Right. Which has,
and
she's a makna.
She's gaining through the thing that she's giving.
She's somewhat gaining.
Well, she's gaining mizonos. She's only gaining.
So I'm saying that's the ambivalence. What are you saying?
She's not
gaining mizonos directly from what
she's doing. She's gaining mizonos.
Right, and she's also giving up things.
What's she giving up?
I'm she's giving up her independence.
She
doesn't have to, but she.
He doesn't see that as a loss at all.
At all?
Right.
Maybe. I thought it's more. I thought what he's saying is that she has. It's true that she is giving up something here, that because she would have gotten the other. Remember, he's trying to explain also the fact that she. The issue isn't whether Kiddushin's bad for her or good for her. Right. The question is whether or not the agarnatar, you know, per se is bad for her, meaning forfeiting on what she would have gotten otherwise, or what she could get for it. I think he's just saying, big deal. You can never really see this as too. Maybe it's hard to know. I think either way. Go ahead. You have the Miri? Miri had. Yeah.
Elishisha Tartsa, Sheinkan Ribis Gemura, Hoelda, Nam Madas Lishne.
Yeah. So that also I think is very interesting. Again, what's different in the Miri is that he emphasizes both.
Right.
And again, is he denying, you know, that, you know, let's say his benefit outweighs hers in this particular equation? I don't think so. I think what he's saying is that the fact that it's not absolute, you know, and it's not like a purist, you know, neshekhan tarbis, that undermines neshekhan tarbis. Okay. So just to sum up, we had Rashi. Rashi also raises the question about the relationship between Kitsitsa and Mesina. Then we have Tosis, who emphasizes the forfeiting of the Pruta. I like Ellie's suggestion very much, that maybe he doesn't really mean that, because that's a negative, and then you get into Pnei Yeshua kind of questions, perhaps, also. But maybe what he means is that that's an indication that the Kiddushin is of a certain value. Either way, that exchange, I think, highlights an important issue about Iska Shabayis Lahadadi, I mean the Pnei Yeshua part of the exchange, namely whether or not saving a pruta is relevant when you do have an alternative, whether it's from her point of view or his point of view in a bigger sense, doesn't matter to me at the moment. It may matter in terms of the Neshach and the Tarbis in this particular case. I also think that the Pnei Yeshua Lishitaso never thinks that the pruta of Shava Pruta is an exchange, unlike the Avnei Miluim, you know, who likes the Sma and likes to see an application. I mean, here, as we notice, the Pnei Yeshua, this is the other thing I wanted to add. Remember the Pnei Yeshua on Daf Yud Beis, on Chayshin Sham Shav Pruta B'Madai, was very strong, rejecting the view of the Rosh Hu D'Imei, that the principle of Ein L'Hekdesh Ela Mishkomo V'Shaito will apply to Kesef Kiddusha. Remember that most, the Rishonim say that the din of Chayshin Sham Pruta B'Madai is a din Rabbanan, because Minat Torah, it's in the Hekdesh Ela Mekom V'Shaito, and the Pnei Yeshua there said that, you know, that's true, you know, when you're dealing with haracha, right, as assessment. But when it's simply Gzeres HaKasuv, then it should depend on Moshe Rabbeinu, you know. And I think here also the idea that you save a pruta, or not, number one, there are other ways to do it. Number two, the pruta here, you know, may express itself in an amount of money. You know, and you are, I guess, saving in your bank account a little bit. But the point is, we don't really look at it as money for an exchange in this particular case. Either way, that's part of the Tosis discussion. Then we have the Rajma and the Ritva, each of whom focuses on the ribbis accomplished by the Kiddushin itself. The Ritva has his famous comment about Kona Adon Liatzmo. I was suggesting that that is more of a ribbis halacha than a Kiddushin halacha, and that would explain the discrepancy to Mudra Hana and the fact that he chooses to do this, which is Hanasa Gabra. And then the Rajba has the comment that this isn't Kinyan Aguf. Again, we talked about the Avnei Miluim's consistent understanding of what that means and the idea that it might, in some respects, be something quite different. But that either way, in my opinion, I think this is true for the Avnei Miluim too, that the Avnei Miluim's halacha is a Kiddushin halacha, which then, you know, has impact in Ribbis. It's not really primarily a Ribbis halacha, unlike the opposite in that respect of Ritva. Then we have the Tosfos Ri Hazaken and the Meiri, each of whom seems to be emphasizing, one is emphasizing the Hanasa Isha in this process, the other who's emphasizing the Hadas Shneem, because in the end of the day, there's still, you know, he's the initiator, you know, he's using this, you know, Amimim Harbachas Hazman, you know, for this benefit. So again, maybe, you know, Itamar is suggesting that it's a pure benefit. I think more likely, we still don't deny that, you know, she's forfeiting like another way to accomplish something in a better way. But I think what we're saying is, in the end of the day, that as long as there's benefit, you know, it's not neshach. And again, his emphasis is on her. I think the Iri's emphasis is on both. But either way, what comes out of this discussion are some different perspectives on how we look at Kiddushin. And then, of course, is the question of Erusin and Nisuin, which is also a Machan Ephraim problem. How we look at Erusin is one of the issues, as applied to Ribbis, but also different perspectives on how we look at the Machayev of Ribbis itself. Okay, and then next, on Sunday, we'll pick up with the relationship between this Gemara and Mem Zayin and start talking about Mekadesh Bar Milvah itself.